If you have your Bibles open to Daniel, the 12th chapter, we find this chapter is the ending of the book of Daniel. However, we may go back and revisit Daniel at a future date here, next opportunity, to just kind of recap. Since Daniel's such a large book, the things that were discussed and the things that were done through it. To remember as we read this chapter tonight brings to the conclusion of this prophetic book, we need to remember that, first of all, Daniel was a young man when the kingdom of Judah fell by the Babylonian Empire. Under Nebuchadnezzar, he goes in there and he conquers Israel years earlier, goes back and conquers Judah, and takes away the finest of the people, or the best of the people, the Bible tells us, and takes them back to Babylon. And so Daniel's this young man that goes back to Babylon in captivity. This is a captivity that lasts for 70 years. It was prophesied by God because Israel had violated God's laws, and because they had planted crops on the Sabbath year they weren't supposed to, God then said that he would, for 10 more times, that would be 70 years, because the Sabbath year is every seventh year, they would be taken out of the land, and the land would be given its rest. So these children of Israel are over there in Babylon, and you can imagine what Daniel's main focus is. Because back over there, when he leaves Israel, he leaves Jerusalem, he's looking back, and it's laid waste. The walls are torn down, the gates are torn down, the temple's torn down. Nothing is left. It's like a destroyed city, like you'd look at Berlin, perhaps, after World War II, or Tokyo, or one of those cities. You would see it lying in ruin from the bombardment that took place. And so he's looking back at his home. He's looking back at his nation, and he's seeing it destroyed. So his focus now with God is turned to, when are we going to be allowed to go back to our land? Well, that was given that that would be 70 years. When would the temple be rebuilt? Well, all that takes place in the ninth chapter, when that 490-year timeline is given to the time of the coming of Jesus Christ and to the spreading of the gospel to the Gentiles. So he wants to know when the city will be rebuilt, when the temple will be restored, when worship will be restored, and when will the kingdom be established under the Messiah. Now, these are all questions that Daniel's had, and these are things that have been answered to him throughout. And throughout this book, there has been the talk of four world power kingdoms that would come, and it would be under the fourth kingdom that the kingdom of God would be established. And so we know that he's talking about the Babylonian Empire, the Medo-Persian Empire, the Grecian Empire, and the Roman Empire. And it's under the Roman Empire is when the kingdom of God is established. It's established, as we know, with man on the day of Pentecost when the church is built and man is able to be added into the church. So these are the things that Daniel is asking hundreds of years before they come about. And he's wanting to know the answers to it, and they, of course, pretty much have been given to him. So it is a book that deals with miracles and miraculous things, such as him in the lion's den, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego in the thrown into the furnace of fire. And here, it deals with the final prophecies. Now, we'll begin reading in chapter 12. He says, At that time shall Michael stand up, the great prince, which shall stand for the children of thy people, and there shall be a time of trouble such as never was since there was a nation, even to that same time. And at that time thy people shall be delivered, every one that shall be found written in the book. And many of them that sleep in the dust of the earth shall awake, some to everlasting life, and some to shame and everlasting contempt. And they that be wise shall shine as the brightness of the firmament, and they that turn many to righteousness as the stars forever and ever. But thou, O Daniel, shut up the words and seal the book even to the time of the end. Many shall run to and fro, and knowledge shall be increased. In the previous chapter, it was talked about this individual that is going to basically bring about desolation to the worship of Israel. And as we talked about it, it points to a man known as Antiochus Epiphanes IV. Now, Antiochus, or Antiochus, however you'd like to pronounce his name, he is an individual who, is, we've already discussed, is very cruel. His thought and his motive is to destroy the Jewish people and their traditions. He wants to wipe it off the face of the earth. Now, what we don't know and what we look towards is this an event that will happen twice? Will it happen at the time? Is Antiochus, is he the forerunner of something that will occur in the future? Now, that's a question that a lot of people have asked. And in any commentary that you read, they're going to talk about that very thing. That you have this man who literally wanted to wipe out the Jewish religion. Will this happen with an individual that wants to wipe out the Christian religion? And that's something that perhaps at a future time we'll be able to discuss and talk about. Here, Daniel is being told that even though this great devastation is going to come about, even though this great desolation, which we talked about how Antiochus takes over the temple, how he offers swine on the altar, how he sets up a statue to Olympus, his god, at the temple, how he forbids Jews to be circumcised, he forbids them to practice their religion, he forbids them to speak their language, they have to speak Greek. If they try to in any way go against him on any of these things, they are put to death. If he finds a copy of the scriptures, it is burnt, and the person that is found with it is put to death. Now, this is the kind of man that he was. He wanted to stamp out any evidence that there was this Israelite people, this chosen people of God. His motives are hard to understand, that a man would have such indignation, such anger, such wrath within himself to want to do this genocide. Some of the Jews join him in this effort, believe it or not. Some of them side with him. And they, of course, are discussed as being the Jews that are bad or the unrighteous or to gone astray. Others have fled into the hills and the countryside to try to take refuge. So when he talks here, and he says that at that time Michael shall stand up, the great prince that standeth for the children of thy people, what transpires is that a priest rallies people together, and you can read about this in history, and it is the Maccabees. It is a family of men who are brilliant strategists, who are great at warfare. They get an army together, a hashtag army, if you please, and go against Antiochus and his great armies. They win many battles, and they do so against odds that you'd think never could have occurred. Sort of like when you look at the Six-Day War that happened in Israel, that where they went against Egypt and went against Saudi and went against many of the other Mideastern countries over there and defeated them in a very short period of time. Well, this is something that's happening with these Maccabees. They're able to defeat Antiochus and his armies. They're able to retake Jerusalem. They're able to cleanse the temple and to reestablish the worship in it. So here, perhaps what is being told to us when it is saying here that as he talks about, and there shall be a time of trouble in the first verse, such as never was since there was a nation. Now this would be the time that we're pointing towards. This is what's going to come, Daniel. This is what's going to happen. So you can prepare the people for this. They can read in your book that this is what's going to happen. And at that time thy people shall be delivered. Now they were delivered by, as we said, by the Maccabees. Everyone that shall be found written in the book, and many of them that sleep. Now, this may not point to a resurrection, a physical resurrection of people coming forth from the ground and their bodies resurrecting to eternal life, but actually points towards a resurrection of the nation of Israel itself, that the people were resurrected back into the worship of God as they should have been. And then he talks about how that the wise are going to shine forth, and they that turn many to righteousness as the stars forever and ever. But he tells Daniel to shut up the words and seal the book to the time of the end. Many is going to run to and fro, and knowledge shall be increased. Now, people have talked about this knowledge to be increased, and they take it to be that, okay, look at the strides mankind has made in knowledge. Why, they've built airplanes, they built automobiles, they built factories, they built the atom bomb, and all these other kind of things. But if this is pointing back to the time of Antiochus, then what is being referred to is the knowledge that will be gained is the knowledge of the understanding of these prophecies, not the knowledge of mankind to do to build buildings and to build bombs and stuff, but to actually understand the words of this prophecy. Beginning in verse 5, then I, Daniel, looked, and behold, there stood other two, the one on this side of the bank of the river, and the other on that side of the bank of the river. And one said unto the man clothed in linen, now he's the man that's on the waters, which was upon the waters of the river, how long shall it be to the end of these wonders? So the question is, how long is it till these prophecies, these things that you're telling us about, this abomination of desolation, this man who comes in and does heinous things such as never been seen in Israel before, how long shall it be to the end of these? And to the kingdoms, and to the many other things that are being asked about in this book. I heard a man clothed in linen, which was upon the waters of the river, when he held up his right hand and his left hand unto heaven, and swear by him that liveth forever and ever, that it shall be for a time, times, and a half time. And when he shall have accomplished to scatter the power of the holy people, all these things shall be finished. All right, so when's the end of this event, this catastrophic event that's going to happen with your people? Well, he says that it'll be a time, a times, and a half times. Well, instead of times here, let's put pluses in here because that's really what it's designating. And this, the times would be two, not one, because he says a time, which is singular, times, which is plural, and then a half time. So this comes out to 3.5 years is what we would say. Now, this is a number that's used throughout the Scriptures. It's a number of time, times, and half time. You can read about several times in the book of Revelations. You read about how the temple will be trodden under by the Gentiles for this same period of time. How the woman in the wilderness escapes for the same period of time. How that the prophets who prophesy in the street is for the same period of time. And so this, the time that Christ, in the middle of the week, his ministry was 3.5 years. So this 3.5 is repeated over and over, sometimes strictly as 3.5 years, other times as prophetic years, which comes out to 1260. Now the way we get that is, we got to suppose that there's 30 days in a month, 12 months, there's 360 days in a Jewish year. Now, when you take that 360 days, this comes out to 1260. 1260 days in prophetic time usually comes out to be years instead of days. And we've talked about that, how that in the book of Numbers, the spies went over into the land and spied it out for 40 days, came back, gave their report, because they didn't want to go in the land and take it. God said, I'm going to give you a day for every one of those years. Again, in the book of Ezekiel, again there it is given as a day for a year. So we know that sometimes in prophecy, this can be set up as days, literally, and it can also be set up as years. And when we get over to those prophecies in Revelations, it would be more so that they were years and not days. We find the same thing when we're talking about the 490 days that are given in the ninth chapter in the book of Daniel, the 70 weeks. We know that Christ didn't come within 70 weeks of the time of the commandment of the temple. It was, in fact, the 490 years. So those days did become years. But in some of this prophecy, there will be literal 1260 days. So he's asking the question, when is this going to happen? How long is this going to last for? And the man clothed in linen, which was upon the waters of the river in the seventh verse, when he held up his right hand and his left hand unto heaven, and swear by him that liveth forever and ever, and it shall be for a time, times and a half, and when he shall have accomplished to scatter the power of the holy people, all these things shall be finished. So it was for the 1260 days that Antiochus Epiphanes was ruler, and he was ruler for longer than this, but it was during this period of time that he focused his attention on destroying the Jews and their religion. And it was for 3.5 years. Now let's read on. And I heard but understood not. Then said I, O my Lord, what shall be the end of these things? All right, so now the question was, how long will these things last for? What will be the end of these things? And so the answer is given to him here, as he says in verse 10, many shall be purified and made white and tried, but the wicked shall do wickedly, and none of the wicked shall understand, but the wise shall understand. Why are the wise going to understand? Well, it's the same as we understand today. We read the Word of God. We understand that God is going to be victorious at the end, that Christ is going to be King of Kings. He is King of Kings and Lord of Lords. And the whole earth is going to realize that. And that His people are going to be called home. We know that is the final end. We know that between now and then, many different things are going to happen. So our eyes are not closed to the way the world goes. Here, people who understood the prophecy of Daniel would understand that these are things that were going to come upon them. And from that time, now listen to verse 11, that the daily sacrifice shall be taken away, and the abomination that make desolate set up, there shall be 1,290 days. So now you have this frame of time that is being mentioned. And then there's one more time that's given. He says, blessed is he that waiteth and cometh to the 1,335 days, but go thou thy way till the end be, for thou shalt rest and stand in the lot at the end of the days. So now the last time that he is given here is the 1,335. So if we look at this period of time that he's talking about here, and we accept it as days, literal days, because it does fit. When Antiochus Epiphanes attacked the people, he run them out of the temple, and he set up the abomination of desolation. It was 1,260 days that they were under his tyranny. The 1,290 days that they come to was when the Maccabees came and defeated Antiochus Epiphanes and reclaimed the temple, and worship was done. On 1,335 days, Antiochus Epiphanes dies. So he's dead at this time. So this is 40 days later. So you have 30 days and you have 40 days, 45 days difference. These are things that history proves out that happened with this individual who wanted to destroy the Israelites and their form of worship. He came to his end as it was prophesied in the 11th chapter, and there was no one there to help him. He came to his end after the Maccabees rose up, revolted against him, gained back the temple that he had done the abomination of desolation in, purged the temple, cleaned the temple, set it up for worship again, and he, of course, cannot go against them, and he, of course, dies. I just want to read out of the Haley's Bible Handbook here, something that he tells us about this Antiochus Epiphanes. His reign was from 175 to 164, so that's 11 years. He was violently bitter against the Jews, and he made a furious and determined effort to exterminate them and their religion. He devastated Jerusalem in 168 BC, defiled the temple, offered a sow on its altar, erected an altar to Jupiter, prohibited temple worship, forbade circumcision on pain of death, destroyed all copies of the Scripture that could be found, and slaughtered everyone discovered in possession of such copies, sold thousands of Jewish families into slavery, and restored to every conceivable torture to force Jews to renounce their religion. This led to the Maccabean revolt, one of the most heroic feats that is talked about or is known about in history. And that was during 167 to 163 B.C. was the rule of the Maccabees. I realize that this can be very hard to understand. And it's something that when you read it, you have to do a lot of historical research to try to find out. I'm not saying that I understand all of it. But it does point, from what Daniel is being prophesied about, it points to the rise and fall of this man who wanted to destroy the Jewish religion. The question that most people have, all right, that's history. That was something that took place. That's something that's known. Was there something more being said here? Was this prophecy something that was going to be repeated? Not perhaps in the days, but in the cycle of the years. As we read over in Revelations, we already talked about that when we read about the beast and the power of the beast and that it was 1260 years. So people have asked the question, and to this point, don't know that we have a concrete answer to everything, that there has been times in which the church has been persecuted, tremendously persecuted. The Word of God was taken away from man. They were persecuted for having it. Many of the same things that you basically see happening with Israel here happened also with the church. But in reference to what Daniel writes here in the 12th chapter, these times dealt with a very evil man, and he come to his end, and he was defeated. The same as what the Bible tells us, that this man of sin, the son of perdition, in the second chapter of Thessalonians, will be defeated by the Word of God. This concludes tonight's talk on the 12th chapter of the book of Daniel. If you want this evening, won't you come while we stand and sing?